So we have a question from Elizabeth.
Okay.
How do our everyday actions and little decisions affect and shape the outcome of the bigger decisions that we're faced with and help shape our future? And if we, like, for example, if we maybe forget to give thanks in our prayers, does that negatively impact the authority that we have?
No, not necessarily. Okay, the little things. What I have learned is we have signposts called synchronicities that if we listen and we're aware of them, they can forewarn us of making big mistakes. Like we may have a feeling in our gut that this is not a good idea, but we press forward and it turns out that that's not a good idea and it causes us, like a friend of mine, she lost her balance and broke her foot. Okay?
Or you marry somebody and on your wedding day you have that feeling and yeah. You go through with it anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
And then you pay for it.
These so. Little things that we do, personal we speaking. Get signs. Yeah. If you get no sign on it, you're fine. Mm-hmm. If you do get a sign that maybe this is not a good idea, maybe there's something that's gnawing at you that it doesn't feel right to me, or
you throw up beforehand.
Yeah, or whatever the case may be.
Good feeling.
That's what you have to listen to. That's what you have to watch for. And although everything that we say, everything that we do is creating our future constantly. So just be aware.
Elizabeth is my cousin, and she talked to me today about these little things. And I think what she keeps getting is that she keeps being told we need to pay attention to the little things. I mean, not just pay attention to those things, but also, like, remember to look for things to be grateful for and to look for ways to stay close to God, even in the smallest of things. Remember
it's wise to do that. I talk to God every day.
Yeah,
I mean, like, every day. And I'm not as formal as people think they should be.
Yeah, sometimes if I'm going about my day and something happens, like, for instance, I'm trying to get back in school and, like, how am I going to, you know, pay for this? And I get a check that mm-hmm. shows up mm-hmm. that somebody owed me money and I didn't think I was going to get it. Then I just remember to say, thank you, mm-hmm. God. Or I went in a situation to take care of some business and someone was a whole lot nicer than I thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, okay, well, God had some favor on this situation. So just saying thank you, God, mm-hmm. out loud and going through that, that's just those little things.
I try to talk to God. I was like, God, I really need some help. I've got some decisions I need to make. And I'd really like to have some insight. Am I doing the right thing? Is this the right way for me to go? If you can, please show me a sign. And I usually get a sign. I get a phone call or there's a message there for me. I do silly things. I ask for parking spaces to be there for me. And they're always there. I mean,
ask and you shall receive.
I do. I really do. And I thank God every day. At various points in time, I just say, thank you. Thank you for my parking spot, or thank you for taking care of me, or thank you for the sign. Thank you for, I'm alive today, and I'm making good choices, I hope. I talk to God as my parent. God is my parent.
You also have to think, I think, even when things go bad, they can always be worse.
Mm-hmm. No. I have learned this. When things go bad, there's a lesson there. Mm-hmm. And I immediately go, okay, God, there's a lesson here for me. What do I need to learn? Can we do it so I don't get hit upside the head real hard?
Well, when I'm on, I was talking about, it's like feeling like you feel like you're going to get sick and you're in the traveling or something like that. And it's like, oh, Lord, please just let me get where I'm going first before instead of getting sick in the car or something like that. You may go ahead and get sick, but you've made it to at least to where you can take care of, you know what I'm saying, care of the situation type of thing.
Not exactly.
Well, it's like with the traveling with the kids and having, okay, you know, being sick to their stomach or something like that. Please just let us get to the, you know, to the rest stop or something like that. you know, that type of thing.
You can do, God is there for you. The spirit community is there for you 24/7. Whatever you need, you ask for. I have a client, a dear man, he and his wife had split up, and he wanted to know how soon she would come back to him. And I looked at him and I said, let me ask you a question. You've been asking for patience. Yes, as a matter of fact, I have been. I said, do you know that you're making this thing get actually be worse than what it should have been? Because you've asked God for patience, and the only way God can give you patience is by testing you and making you go through it to learn it. I said, please, from here on out, say, God, I don't want the lessons for patience. I got it. Please, if you could just send me divine spirits of patience to work with me, I would appreciate that much more. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Amen to that one.
Yeah.
Did it work?
It did. Yeah, it's working. Yeah. And it'll work a whole lot better now.
Did she come back to him?
It's coming that way. Oh. Yeah. I don't think he knows what he's doing when he gets it back.
Right.
But yeah, it's coming back.
Okay, like a second part of that question. So if we want to say the lifting over somebody, we have to have permission to pray for them.
Always.
If we just say, you know, God, like this, I don't have permission to pray for this person, but they're having a really rough time. Can you just, if there's anything appropriate, can that be done? Is there a specific way to do that for somebody you don't have permission to pray for?
Yes, we are always allowed to pray. Always. Mm-hmm. For anyone, for the United States, for your family. We were always allowed to pray. But what I would do is, when you do the prayer, I would say, God, I wish to pray for so-and-so. I would ask for the appropriate divine spirits to work with them, to help them in any way that you find appropriate for their lessons. And I ask that they be eased, and if appropriate, be healed. Always use the terminology. Always use the word appropriate. You're covered that way.
In whatever ways are deemed appropriate, if it's deemed appropriate?
Yes, absolutely. But you're always allowed to pray.
Okay.
You can't use the specific prayers without having their direct permission.
And pray for comfort on something like that.
You can always pray. You can do that if it's appropriate. Everyone has lessons. And people don't know this. And they see really good people going through some really bad things. And what they don't understand is those really good people are going through those really bad things because maybe they need to learn to stand. And sometimes it's not appropriate to interfere with their lessons. And I have learned from my past that when I interfered with somebody's lesson, the second time around, it got 10 times worse for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that anymore. I don't stand in the way of somebody's lessons anymore. I can give them warning. I can give them information. But I don't stand in the way. And I had one lady. I have the nicest people in the world come to me. I really do. This lady came to me. And she does lifting on all of her children. But she leaves herself completely out. She has no permission. She has permission from them to do the lifting. But she's been doing this for years. And of course it doesn't achieve because the children who are adults are not taking their responsibility. And meanwhile, she's still leaving herself out. And people do that. People think that we are here to sacrifice. Not take care of ourselves, but to sacrifice, even spiritually. We are not here to sacrifice, period. We are not here to sacrifice spiritually. We are to take care of ourselves, and by taking care of ourselves, we can help others.
We
can't do it the blind leading the blind. It doesn't work. Everybody falls in the ditch.
Or everybody just kind of shimmies along, and so somehow makes it into the bar. And
it's like having to take care of yourself before your child on an airplane.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. And if we don't do that, then we're putting not only ourselves at risk, but everyone else. So you had other questions?
Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of pondering on this lately, too. Is there any particular reason to use iodized table salt versus sea salt or versus non-iodized?
All I can tell you, it goes back, it's in the Bible, and it goes back that all things that are to be given unto God are to be given with an offering of salt. And it goes back to the old salt, which was the iodized salt, versus new salt, which had taken the iodine out of the salt.
Okay. So it's like a historic, it was the salt that was used at the time.
All things that are to be offered up to God. With a measure of salt.
So it was the salt at the time, and now we've manipulated and made it less iodidic and less...
We're taking the iodine out. And for some reason, it has to go back to that original salt.
So the ocean, like if you get in the ocean, does that not cleanse?
That does. It does cleanse.
Okay. So iodized sea salt would work?
It would work.
It just is going to be super expensive, and you should probably spend 44 cents on the Morton's.
Well, that's okay. That was not expensive.
Iodized sea salt?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Iodized table salt works just fine.
And it's cheap. Okay.
Epsom salt does not work.
Epsom salt isn't salt. It's
makes your feet feel good, though.
You can add it to it.
Yeah, that's what I do. I add it to my food.
Some baking soda is actually very nice, too.
But if you want to cleanse your auric field and you want to pull all the stress out of your body, it has to be with iodized table salt. It just doesn't work. And the dark side, you could test it out. If you go under attack by the demonic, try plain salt, and then try iodized and see which one works.
I will personally attest to that. I've had a lot of friends as of late. I took an Epsom salt. I'm in my condition. I can take an Epsom salt bath. A-okay, just fine. Table salt. They're like, don't do it. Don't. That's a bad idea. Don't do it. Don't you touch the salt.
Explain that she's possessed during that time frame by demonic.
Oh, now, so the voices are telling you don't do it.
It's my guides.
Explain that part of it. She is one of the members of the group that we use for redemption, getting spirits back to God, okay? Redeemed back to God. And sometimes she ends up as carrier. There are a few of us in the group that ends up as carriers. And when you end up as carrier, then they can't hurt you, but you carry them until it's time to work them through the meeting to get them redeemed back to God. And when she's doing that, she can't take an iodized table salt bath.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I get nasty little things in the ear all the day. Well, sometimes I can't sleep.
So you get in the bathtub and
Epsom salts? A-okay, I'm good.
No, I'm saying salt. I mean iodized salt.
I'm not trying it.
Oh, you're saying
it burn her.
It would
burn her.
Oh.
I'm not.
And that's just any time or just during the time?
No, just during that time.
When she's carrying, when she has a carrier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By that time of the week.
One of our members, she couldn't wear silver because it blistered her. That was Diane. It blistered her and she broke out and just all sorts of problems.
Were they carrying demonic entities?
They were.
Okay. Until you get them back to the live.
Yes.
On Monday night.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a demonic entity, then the salt act wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
I never take it off.
Okay. I take them and I feel so much better. And then it's funny, I'm like at Walmart and I'm buying all this salt and the kids are like looking at me like that's crazy. But when
tell
I run out and I don't have it, I can just tell the difference. I just feel so much lighter, and then you're super thirsty afterwards, but it works.
Yeah, it does.
Man,
it really does.
Before I came,
I would advise it's like 1/3 cup to the bath water. Make sure you get it from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
Want your hair being messed up, you can sponge. Mm-hmm.
But you don't have
to do it.
But you don't have to completely submerge for 20 minutes.
You do not.
Strong. I was wondering if you had to submerge your head or not.
No, you do not.
Just get your towel, your sponge, and just kind of.
Yeah, you do sponge. You can sponge.
Sponge.
Okay.
But you can submerge, and then wash your hair afterwards.
Just go completely under. And then just rinse it out afterwards.
I like to just go down and stick my nose out.
But you don't have to do it.
For 20 minutes?
No, not for 20 minutes.
Not down, I meant the bath.
No, it doesn't matter.
It can be
submerge for 20 minutes. All of your problems will strong. Be gone.
Yeah, aren't they?
You're going to find you some new set of problems. Nobody's going to know, nobody's going to hear you, and you're not going to be able to sit down in your favorite chair. That's going to be your new problem. Anyway, okay. Next, moving swiftly on. What does it mean when I get a chill in the body when I'm praying, or even sometimes when I'm not praying?
Usually the truth makes for chills on the body. When you have a revelation or you feel that connection with God, it can make you have a chill on the body. Sometimes, well, very often when I hear a truth that is one of those deep level, I get goose pimples all through.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of shivers.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good sign.
What about images that aren't, what about when you're praying and you see an image, like a dark image, and you're like praying and you're trying
that's to... That's the dark side trying to get you off track.
Right when you're praying.
Sure. They're trying to get you off track, trying to intimidate you, try to startle you, try to make you fearful. What the dark side does is it will tell people that if you use the liftings, if you use this in your daily life, everything will get worse for you. And it's not true. It's a lie. You know? It is a huge lie. So I have people come to me and say, I'm really afraid to do the liftings because I'm afraid that I'm going to be targeted by the dark side. That's because I've been told that. I said, you will not be targeted by the dark side. You're already targeted. That's why you're saying this to me.
Oh, yeah.
One last one, and then pass the torch. Okay. This is from a friend. There was a different friend, actually. So there was a time when I prayed the lifting, and I didn't feel that that was enough. So I decided to listen. There's a recording of you saying the lifting. So I decided to hear Carol's lifting after, and I felt a circular motion in my hands as she was saying the lifting. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
And not, she said she normally feels pressure in the hands, but I felt a circular motion instead.
I don't think it's bad.
You've got vortexes in your hands, so.
Well, yeah, that's your vortexes or your chakras are right in the center of both palms. And it could be that it opened up that chakra that it was shut down because of whatever was attached to it.
Didn't you tell me before, though, like, me doing the lifting versus you doing the lifting because...
I have more seniority.
Right, so...
More authority.
It's going to have a more powerful effect when you do it. So, I don't know. I was kind of thinking that, too.
It does. Mm-hmm. And if you do the lifting and you need to go to the lifting that I do, it should work for you. Which is a good point. Because I do have authority. I've been doing the lifting since...
Since you came up with the lifting?
Yeah, well, sort of.
She didn't come up with it, but she was given the lifting.
It was more than that. It was really more than that. I was told that I had to do this. I went into this old bookstore, and this book fell at my feet. And I walked a little farther, and I picked it up. I walked a little farther, and another fell at my feet. Two different books. One was about Dr. Strickland and his wife. And he was working with the Band of Mercy, and she was a clairvoyant and medium. And he got spirits into the light using the Band of Mercy. And the other book that I found, which was like 1890, it was about the Band of Mercy and about they help people to get into the light.
The book was written in 1890?
Yeah. Yeah. And I went, okay, I wonder what this means. Because at that point in time, I didn't have a clue. So I read this book by Dr. Edith Fiore, The Unquiet Dead, and it was about how she had worked with people that had spirit attachments and how radically it had changed her patients' personalities and like and dislike for things and problems. And about halfway through the book it said, if you're feeling anxiety, you probably have spirits attached to you too. About that time I'm feeling immense anxiety and I'm going, oh crud. And I had been taught finger signals by another doctor that I'd worked with previously in order to get to root situations using finger signals. And the next day, three people showed up on my doorstep saying, I'm spirit possessed. Can you help me? So, that being said, I have learned that when things fall at your feet, when you have things that open up for you, you need to pay attention because there's a path there for you that you really don't want to ignore.
Shudder to think where we would be had you ignored that.
Yeah, really. Well, we
possessed.
Be right here. I'd be dead.
Oh, you were in horrible shape. She was she was half dying on me. My God. We were going to do all sorts of surgeries on you and everything else. Oh, God. Yeah. It was awful. Now she's fine. They were going to do hip surgery. And
wasn't even 40. I was going to have a hip replacement, back surgery.
Spirit attachment?
Well, not entirely. No. There were psychological problems going on. There were some spiritual problems going on. And some spirit attachment. But most of this was, she was off base. And
I was being attacked, too.
Yeah. On top of that. Mm-hmm. We got it taken care of. And a couple of, actually that first day, pretty much.
Because I couldn't even walk.
She came in. Oh, she was in horrible shape.
Literally. Yeah.
I went, good Lord, girl, what has happened to you?
Like an old person. I could barely walk in here.
So she was fine now.
But I do my liftings every day. And then, like, as soon as I get up in the morning, before I get my kids ready, I do it. And then when I get home in the evenings, I do it again. So, like, I lift whatever got on me during the day.
Because the liftings don't protect you. Mm-hmm. They clean you. They make sure you stay clean. Mm-hmm. There's no way to protect you from spirit attachment. I wish there were, but there aren't. But it's part of your learning process. It's for, believe it or not, for your benefit and for theirs. If you want to be a spiritual person, you should be redeeming those people back to God. That's a very important process.
And not keeping them around because they're nice and they kind of keep me company.
Yeah, well, people don't know. They absolutely don't know.
Well, the nice ones weren't coming to me.
Heard that.
I'm sorry.
I have children come through my house constantly because there used to be a daycare at my house and a school right across the street, and constantly. And my grandsons have played with them through the years.
You put that one on swing to the library. Remember you said that?
Yeah, the swing was a wild one.
Why don't you put in a floating sanctuary for those children?
I never thought of it. You never suggested it.
The appropriate Bands of Mercy.
This is a new one too. I have been told to ask for the appropriate Bands of Mercy. Because we have several Bands of Mercy now. So you don't have to just say, I would please ask the Band of Mercy. You can ask for the appropriate Bands of Mercy.
Should we change that in our lifting?
Yeah, I think it would be advisable.
We're going to redo this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you can put into place, I would please ask the appropriate Bands of Mercy to put into place a floating sanctuary on my house and property, that it be perpetually cleansed, and that all that come to my house and property be immediately taken into the sanctuary. And I ask for all of this to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank thee.
Okay. Do you want to say it after her? Make sure you get it right.
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
It's it's going to be, yeah.
But that would be very helpful for those children, because they're babies. Yeah. See, that's another thing. There are children out there that have passed, and they're stuck, they're earthbound for whatever reason, and we need to help them go into the light. I can't tell you. I watch these shows where these people go in ghost busting, and they are so mean, and they're going to provoke the ghost, and it might be a 5-year-old child. It's horrific. It's just absolutely horrific to me.
The child's just lost.
Of course they're lost and they're scared.
And they don't know if they're, their mommy and daddy are not
so
there.
You've got this big brutish man that's going to come in there and, you know, invoke the devil and scare the little 5-year-old child. Like they're already in torment as it is. Good for TV. Hmm. I mean, it's horrible. I know because I deal with these children. When I go into a haunted house, I don't invoke, I don't do any of those things. I talk to them. Of course, usually I do it over the phone, get it lifted. But when I do go into the homes, I talk to them and I let them know what's happened to them and I let them know that I'm there to help them. And I know that they don't know what's happened. And to let them be comforted, not terrorized. Now, if they turn to try to terrorize me, which I've had that happen, then I take my authority and I stand. This is my realm. You don't belong here. You have no authority here. Band of Mercy, take them on.
Be gone.
On TV, when you see psychics on TV, they say that there's a spirit there and they're trying to help send them to the light. They won't say anything out loud. They're just like sitting there concentrating, like they're praying on, you know,
that's
with their inner
good.
Voice. Yeah, because you were saying that, you know, you have to speak out loud to
you have
this
to speak
to work,
everything
so,
aloud. Mm-hmm.
But I noticed on TV a lot, they're usually just standing there like they're concentrating and they're like, okay, they've gone to the light now. But
makes for good television.
I noticed that.
I don't know what to say. But I also recognize that every psychic works differently. I don't do anything silently. When I talk to them, you're going to hear me talk to them.
Would somebody with the spiritual authority be able to do that without speaking out loud? I mean, somebody with...
No.
Okay.
No. And I tell people, and I have people that do, like, massage work. And they've come back to me telling me that they do lifting on every person they do a massage on. I say, really? Do you have their permission? Well, no. And how do you do this? I do it silently in my head. I said, do you really think that's going to do anything? No, it doesn't.
But if someone is coming to you for a massage and you're going to have to be touching all over them, would that not be within your authority?
Not to do that.
Would it be like if you go...
What you can do is you can have a floating sanctuary put up into your business, and anyone that walks in that has spirits attached to them, they can be taken into that floating sanctuary.
Because that's your domain.
That's your domain. Mm.
And they're entering it.
My daughter did a neat thing. She had it set up so that anyone that came into her house could not lie.
Wow.
Proved to be interesting.
That could get really...
Wow.
Carol, why didn't you tell me this like 2 years ago? You could have saved me my last relationship.
Now, how would that work? Let's hear this.
How do we do that? Let's
get a
little work.
Is that a sanctuary of honesty?
Wow.
Everybody's going to pull out their pens.
What she did was she asked that her guides would not allow anyone that walked into her domain to lie. That they had to speak absolute truth.
And her guides
can do that?
In the name
of Jesus Christ. Yeah, they did it.
Isn't that affecting the person's free will?
They're in their domain. Her domain.
They have the option to walk out anytime they want.
That's right.
Just like these people that are attached, so they walk in and with attachment, they don't have to walk in there.
That's right.
That's good news.
I told you, I take a lot of things for granted. I have lots of info in there. It's kind of
we
have to ask the right questions.
Yes, you do.
I got a list.
Okay.
You may not want to get into all of it now.
Do we want to get after break time?
Do we
want to get into her list after break?
Is it almost break time?
It's I want to talk about the rapture.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you're...
That'd be like...
You know, there's questions on whether or not Revelations was actually written by Peter.
That's what I want to get into.
Well, I can't because...
Okay.
The Bible has been changed so much and translated so much.
Yes.
It's really difficult to determine. Now, the truth is in the Bible, okay?
Right.
No matter what they did to it, there's truth in the Bible. Man tried to do all kinds of stuff to it, but he wasn't able to eliminate it. But I don't know where that stands.
Okay. Well, we've discussed about 12:21 and how we turn things around.
Hmm.
Well, before.
Hmm.
just keep going. Just keep.
Okay. So, my question is, you're making this very difficult. My question is, were things set, were they started and then stopped? Or were they not started at all because...
Oh, they were started.
Okay.
They like, were most definitely
okay,
started.
Like the four horsemen, the Antichrist, the tribulations, the...
Some of that, yes. And it was going to be like a really bad catastrophe during that time.
Right.
And there was going to be the planetary alignment,
right,
which did not happen.
That's correct. It did not happen.
Which was pretty bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah. Planetary alignment.
It did not happen.
Oh. As a matter of fact, who was... Was it...
Somebody said Doomsday canceled. Was it?
Yeah. NASA. NASA canceled the alignment. In the newspaper.
Cosmologically, NASA. How can that happen? Yeah.
Good question.
Our God is an awesome God, He reigns.
And it had been predicted since the Mayans. It was in the Carso.
But NASA didn't cancel it.
Yeah.
Well, no, what they're saying is they said it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Oh. God,
they didn't cancel
they
it.
They can't do that.
God canceled it. NASA got the memo.
They're big, but they're not that big.
NASA can't cancel. NASA announced that it was not happening.
NASA announced that the planetary alignment had been canceled.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Wow.
The end.
Okay.
That was going to be 2012.
Yeah, I hadn't been here in a while.
December 21st.
I wondered why there wasn't more stuff going on about that.
That's what happened. Now, it didn't stop the whole thing from happening. It is still in process, but it is in levels and layers.
Okay.
And that's what this is all about this year. It's part of those levels and layers.
I had a feeling this was going to be appropriate.
Of what that was going to be.
All right.
So we're still in the... We're still going through the stuff, but it's not total catastrophe.
Instead of having the big firework that goes off that everybody has to get back 40 feet from it, you get sparklers and some people might get burned. And
yeah.
How about questions specifically about some of that stuff? Like, not if it's happened, about what you think about it. Such as, you know, one of the things is about the graves will open and the bodies will go to heaven.
No.
I mean, there's no need.
No.
The spirits are gone.
No, no, and no.
Okay, well, that's
really
what...
Messy.
Girl, you want to talk about Doomsday?
Yeah.
She's talking about Revelations.
Revelations, yeah.
We don't want the bodies to raise, though.
There's no need for the bodies to come. The spirits are gone.
If you want to sit around with your body, like I've run into a lot of spirits that do because of their religious beliefs, that's fine. But it's not going to happen. And do you really want to get back in that 100-year-old body that you've been
sitting in? I sure don't.
And do you think it's going to do you any good?
I don't. Okay. That's why I was wanting to bring it up.
No, that's not. But I do find, and that's why you have to stay out of graveyards, there are a lot of people there that believe that they will be resurrected in their bodies, and they stay with their bodies.
Speaking of graveyard, I have to catch up. What is the side effect of building a subdivision right next to...
Not a good idea. Very bad idea. I think they made a movie about it called Poltergeist. Which was a little over the top, but...
So, for the people that don't live right near that, I mean, does it... I know it probably stirs up.
It does.
So... I mean, how far does that go? Because basically where I live, I live close to, I guess, the Veterans Cemetery or whatever. I mean, it's further down Maryland. But, like, some person decided to cut all these trees out right next to it and build another subdivision. I wouldn't want to live there. And I was like, are you serious?
There are people that move cemeteries, supposedly, mm-hmm. and build subdivisions over them.
Yeah.
And there is problems.
Yeah.
Well, and there's some people who, I want to go because I think it's spooky and I like ghost stories and I want to be scared.
That happens all the time.
Mm, I'm related to that.
It's fine if you want to do it, but you're probably going to bring something home with you that may affect your family, your house.
Your mental and emotional well-being.
What else?
Pets.
Yep. So all you can really do is just your house protection.
Go ahead and put a... sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do your lifties for a while before you do the sanctuary so you've established yourself with the spirit community. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then they will do these things for you. If you go, oh, okay, I've never done a lifting before, but would you please, it might not work as well. Okay?
I have a question about that because I did this loading sanctuary last January after I did, you know, for the year or whatever. And I still have my lights blink, you know, I've had they come in and I have to, I mean, they still come in, so I'm like, did I do it wrong?
You might want to add the appropriate band of mercy,
okay.
Because it might not be human spirits, it might be something different.
Because it happens a lot. Like,
and
a lot
if you want to really be on the safe side, you might ask the appropriate archangel or angels from the appropriate realms or counter realms and using all those names.
They can put sanctuaries up too?
Sure, I would think so.
Look at that.
Or they can take them into the light or into protected sanctuary. They have that authority to go ahead and do that. I mean, I'm not telling you to get overly creative with this because you could do yourself some harm.
Right.
Kind of stick to the guidelines, but
okay. When we have free will, and it says the masses will be they will just disappear, and be taken into the light at the rapture.
No.
Okay. That's what I felt too. That I just wanted to verify. I'm verifying tonight.
I am. Not, I don't know. Let me clarify that. If a rapture occurs, and I don't know if it will or not, my guides have not told me anything about that.
Okay.
Like the leftovers, you know, the show.
Mm-hmm.
If it occurs, I don't know what to tell you. But if you're stuck here, you've done something wrong, more than likely.
But doesn't that go against us having the free will to go into the light or not?
It does to my way of thinking. But
it did to mine too, and that's why I'm asking.
I don't know that that would occur that way. But I can't make a judgment call on that.
Okay.
I just can't do it.
But you feel that way too.
I don't know what to say about it.
Okay.
I think Katrina's referring...
I don't know that I have an opinion.
Katrina's referring to the rapture as if it's a biblical
yeah.
concept, and
yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
it is.
No, it's I don't actually, either.
It was only
that's really what I'm saying.
around the 1800s, from what I understand, is when they started talking about a rapture and it became a term. Yeah. And then I guess they associated it with Revelation. And then now people think when you say rapture, it's actually something that's biblical. And I don't think it really is.
I don't think it is either. Yeah. I don't think staying with your body's in there either.
I mean, what about the people who died, like, right after, like, in the couple hundred years after Jesus died? Those bones are dusty. Like, that's not...
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So much of it doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's a reference in the Bible somewhere about we will have a new body in Christ, I believe. Mm-hmm. I got the
passage yeah, right. Something like
and
that.
I believe people may misinterpret that to mean a new physical body.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the Antichrist?
There are many of them.
More than one.
I've been told there are many. I thought there would be one, but there is not one. There seems to be.
That makes sense.
A lot.
And the four horsemen, are they all?
I haven't gotten anything on that. I did have some weird things happen with, and it was a while back. It was in 96, and I heard trumpeting. In the air, in the sky, I heard trumpeting.
Hmm. And there was those folks in Germany, I think it was, that supposedly heard the trumpeting for like days, and they didn't know what it was.
I heard.
That's just recently, a few months ago.
And there was, I also had dreams about religious pictures in the sky. And that happened in the Philippines, only the children could see it. Well, I've talked about that before. Careful. But you're getting into religious belief systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just don't do religious belief systems. I do what my guides
right.
teach
and that's why
me.
I'm bringing
so
it up.
I don't really have an opinion on that. I don't really have an opinion on any of it. I just
right.
what they tell me. Because they've always proven out to be 100% accurate.
That's why I'm asking.
Ah, gotcha.
Break time.
Okay,
break time. Break time.